WKAR's Studio S at Michigan State University, this is Current Sports.
What is up, beautiful people? You are now locked into WKAR's Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin. That's right, I'm back in the saddle after a day off. Big shout out to Current Sports engineer Isaac Constance for holding down the fort yesterday. I'm sure it was a jam-packed show filled with a ton of MSU football talk. The Spartans are reeling, folks. Four straight losses. I really can't believe that. Of course, they lost to Northwestern on Saturday afternoon. Homecoming weekend, the Wildcats putting up 54. Got to be kidding me. So on today's Current Sports, you get to hear my thoughts on this MSU football year moving forward now as the Spartans will play a night game against Maryland on Saturday night on the road to try and put the wheels back on the track. Myself, along with Current Sports production assistant Luke Robbins, we actually attended the Mark D'Antonio weekly press conference that is held each and every Tuesday morning at 11:30 a.m. at, of course, Spartan Stadium. And Mark, I tell you what, he's holding up as best as he can. I must say that, all right? So you'll get to hear our coverage from the Michigan State football presser with Coach D. Later on in the show, we'll talk about the Detroit Lions on a two-game winning streak. Are you kidding me? How about the Honolulu Blue? Matthew Stafford coming up CLUTCH on Sunday afternoon. What a game that was. And on the back end of the show, we will talk about the Detroit Red Wings as they bid adieu to the Joe. And we'll give you a quick update on a certain college football team who may know its fate due to a certain scandal, all right? That and more. Call in 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. You can also go to our Facebook page at facebook.com/currentsports, or you can even tweet us at Al Martin WKAR, or tweet the show at WKAR_sports. And of course, folks, this entire week, We have our WKAR Radio Fall Fundraiser. That's right. This started on October 14th and will last to the 20th. And you can give now by supporting, again, right? Cha-ching, Isaac. You can give now by supporting, of course, if you love our programming here, we give you music, news, and sports that make a difference, okay? We all know that WKAR is an integral part to really many of your lives out there. You guys tune in to get the latest news, again, to hear the latest music and sports that you love and care about, okay? If you go to WKAR.org or by simply calling 517-353-5000, you can become an official member of the WKAR family. And we also are doing giveaways throughout this radio fall giveaway campaign as well. During the radio fall fundraiser, we will conduct, get this, 7 drawings, all right? 1 winner of each drawing will be chosen at random and will be notified by phone and or by email following the drawing. Now, winner names will also be announced on the air and on social media. Now, as you guys know, I completely embarrassed myself. If you saw our social media video of me totally butchering the Phantom of the Opera, I was actually pubbing one of our giveaways that happened last week, courtesy of the Wharton Center. Do we really have to play that, Isaac? I hope that Isaac didn't play it. Oh, here we go. Oh, boy.
We had a great sneak peek yesterday, too.
Face, draw back in fear. I am the most you wear.
I think it's I made it to here, too, just for reference. And then I said cut it off.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah, thank you, Isaac. Isaac just is totally embarrassing myself right now. Yeah, that video went viral. That was to pub one of our giveaways, courtesy of the Wharton Center Broadway series. That giveaway took place last week on Friday. How hilarious was that, though? I had a great time making that video with, of course, classical music host here at WKER, the one, the only, Jamie Paisley. He did a great job as well. And, hey, on Monday, we actually gave away a family fun pack courtesy of Impression 5 Potter Park Zoo, and yes, the Wharton Center as well. And today, again, a $500 Visa gift card courtesy of LaughQ. If you enter between now and 7 p.m., the giveaway will be announced tomorrow between 9 and 10 a.m. Folks, again, a $500 Visa gift card is on the line. We appreciate all your support because without you, Current Sports would not be here, okay? Moving on, folks, you guys know how we begin Current Sports. We love to hit you with what we call our Current Sports Quick Hit Headliners. All right, folks, we have a official start time of the Michigan State and Michigan football game, okay? The game will take place, of course, next week, and it has a kickoff time. The Spartans will take on the Wolverines at Spartan Stadium at noon Eastern Standard Time. Again, mark it down, noon, 12 noon is when the Spartans and Wolverines will go at it in that rivalry game. The 2-4 Spartans will travel to Maryland this Saturday, while 6-0 Michigan will host Illinois. Now, early lines have Michigan favored by 18.5 against the Spartans. All right, folks, well, we do have a kickoff time, 12 noon. Again, we will have coverage from the Mark D'Antonio Morning Presser later on in the show as well. Keep it locked right here. The Big 12 Conference announced that the conference will not expand its membership and will remain at 10 programs following a unanimous board decision. Now, according to Big 12 Commissioner Bob Bowlsby, the Big 12 expansion would no longer be, quote, an active agenda item. The conference leaders held video interviews with almost 20 candidates and interviewed officials from Air Force, BYU, Cincinnati, Houston, Rice, SMU, Tulane, and a few others like UConn, Colorado State, Central Florida, and even Southern Florida. Even with many candidates, the conference ultimately decided against expanding and will now focus on topics such as forming divisions for a potential Big 12 championship game, according to Bowlsby. All right, the NCAA is expected to provide the Louisville basketball program a notice of allegations this week. NCAA investigations began when escort Katina Powell made claims that involved graduate assistant coach and director of basketball operations Andre McGee. Powell says McGee paid her and other escorts thousands of dollars. Yeah. Also, that she received game tickets for 5 seasons in exchange for providing sex for recruits and players. Louisville has up to 90 days to respond to the NCAA once they receive the official notice, and the NCAA has 60 days to review that response. Now, Louisville's basketball program could face severe penalties such as a postseason ban, forfeiture of victories, and they could be forced to forfeit the team's 2013 national championship. The Detroit Red Wings got their first win of the year against the 2-0 Ottawa Senators, with a 5-1 victory in the Wings' last home opener at Joe Louis Arena on Monday night. What a scene it was, folks. Now, get this. Mike Green scored 3 goals. That's right, a hat trick. First career hat trick for him. And Darren Helm added 2 goals of himself. Now, Green scored twice in the first period and once in the third. Green only had 7 goals and 28 assists last for the Wings. Peter Mrazek made 13 of his 31 saves in the second. The Wings travel to Madison Square Garden to take on the New York Rangers tomorrow night at 8 p.m. We'll have more on the final season opener, the final home opener at the Joe for the Wings, and a very fitting tribute for the great one, Mr. Gordie Howe. The Detroit Pistons defeated the Milwaukee Bucks last night 102-78 to bring their preseason record to 3-2. Kentavious Caldwell-Pope led the Pistons in scoring with 23 points after going 6-for-11 from three-point range. And Andre Drummond added a double-double with 12 points and 13 boards. The Pistons' first-round pick, Henry Ellenson, added 14 points, 5 boards off the bench. Giannis Antetokounmpo led the Bucks with 21 points, 6 rebounds, 4 assists. Isaac, real quick, say Antetokounmpo.
Antetokounmpo.
I love that name. All right, moving on, folks. Again, first finish. They will finish the preseason Wednesday night at the Palace of Auburn Hills against DeMar DeRozan, Kyle Lowry, and the Toronto Raptors. Tip off set for 7:30 p.m. But if you say that name five times fast, that's impossible. Right?
No, you're done by that point.
All right, the Cleveland Indians beat the Toronto Blue Jays 4-2 in Game 3 of the ALCS. Things look bleak for the Blue Jays as the Indians now hold a commanding 3-0 series lead. Cleveland relievers worked 8 1/3 innings of work on Monday after starting pitcher Trevor Bauer was removed due to bleeding from his right pinky. Now, Cleveland has done a good job of Toronto off the board as the Blue Jays have only scored 3 total runs in the series. Indians infielder Mike Napoli was 0-9 in his career against the Blue Jays starter Marcus Stroman, but Napoli was 2-2 in his first at-bats with an RBI double and a home run. Now, Game 4 of the ALCS will begin at 4 p.m. today. In Toronto, Corey Kluber will get the start for the Indians as they attempt to sweep their way into the World Series. Aaron Sanchez will battle for the Blue Jays and will look to push the ALCS to Game 5. The Arizona Cardinals even their record to 3-3 after a 28-3 rout of the New York Jets on Monday Night Football. Cardinals running back David Johnson, who's on my fantasy team, had 111 yards, 3 touchdowns, 22 carries, and QB Carson Palmer added 213 yards and a touchdown. Jets running back Matt Forte only had 9 carries for 19 yards. Geno Smith, the Jets backup QB, came in late in the game for Ryan Fitzpatrick, who only had a QBR of 22.6. It's time to really sit Fitzpatrick, all right? Smith went 4 of 6, 31 yards, and had a pick. And sad news here, folks. Very sad news. 3 Kentucky men, including a father and son, have been arrested and charged in the fatal shooting of Olympic sprinter Tyson Gay's 15-year-old daughter, Trinity. Now, Shazare and DeMarcio Taylor were taken into custody on Sunday, charged with wanton endangerment hours after the team was fatally shot near a restaurant. Now, a third man, 21-year-old Devonta Middlebrooks, was also arrested and charged with wanton endangerment along with the possession of a firearm by a convicted felon in connection with the shooting. Officers responded to the parking lot of the local restaurant around 4 a.m. on Sunday morning after receiving a report that shots were fired. Witnesses told authorities that there was an exchange of gunfire between 2 vehicles and Trinity was sadly caught in the crossfire. She later died at the hospital. Reading stuff like that, folks, it just turns your stomach. Thoughts and prayers out to the Gay family. That wraps up your current sports quick hit headliners. If you want to call in and comment on any of those or anything on your sports noggin, you know that number, 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. Let's start the show.
You know, you're checking the pulse of our football team. So thus far, I would say, hey, we're hanging. You know, you got to be a rock. To play this game, you've got to be a rock in the first place. As I've said before, we've won a ton of games. It's all right. We all make mistakes right down there. Okay, no problem. Where was I? I'm just trying to come up with some things here. I think you got to be a rock. You have to be. You know, bad things are going to happen. You know, that's going to be a part of your life. Everybody goes through struggles. Everyone goes through struggles. And all you got to do is is turn on the TV, whether you're watching the sports or whether you're watching something else. People have to handle problems. And so that's our mindset. That's what we have to do, and that's what we will do.
And that is exactly what this Michigan State football team is doing right now. This team needs help, folks. Without a doubt, SOS, immediately. First off, welcome to the show. I am your host, Al Martin, one day removed from work. Man, oh man, before I give my whole spiel about this MSU football year, on a lighter note, the reason I was out yesterday, I was actually traveling from Wisconsin back here home to East Lansing, Michigan. My girlfriend, who I love dearly, she surprised me with, man, probably the ultimate birthday present ever that I've gotten on my 26 years living on this fantastic thing we call Earth, all right? And she surprised me. You guys know I'm a huge. There's two teams that even though I work in the business of sports media, okay, and I try to stay as unbiased as possible, there are two teams that still run deep through my veins, all right, including MSU. But we cover MSU, so I have to keep it completely unbiased here on the airwaves, as much as possible at least. But professionally, two teams one team we cover if they do make the playoffs. And we talk about a lot here on the show, the Detroit Pistons, all right? The other being the Dallas Cowboys, all right? Now, a lot of our listeners, maybe somebody driving in the car and it happens to be on WKAR AM 870 right now, and they're saying, what? A Dallas Cowboy fan in East Lansing? Well, let me explain, all right? We live in Michigan, and the Detroit Lions are our NFL team here in the state of Michigan, all right? And we all know the Detroit Lions are just up and down and around. I mean, never won a Super Bowl. It's tough being a Detroit Lions fan. So naturally, my dad, when I was growing up, you know, he always said, you got to have that other team you root for that you can root for in the playoffs because the Lions never make the playoffs. And his was, of course, the Dallas Cowboys, all right? The dynasty that was, you know, Emmitt Smith and Michael Irvin and Troy Aikman, those guys in the 90s. And I naturally grew up respecting the star. So the girly got me tickets, Isaac, and you probably noted this on yesterday's show, got me tickets to go check out the Dallas Cowboys taking on the Green Bay Packers at historic Lambeau Field. And I'm curious, I want to know if any of our listeners out there have ever been to Lambeau Field. It is one of the most historic sports venues in all of sports, folks. So I was stoked, even though I'm not a Packer fan at all. Lambeau Field, you don't have to be a Packer fan to respect the tradition that is Lambeau Field and the Green Bay Packers, all right? I grew up watching Brett Favre as well. And one time I was a Brett Favre fan. I actually had a Brett Favre jersey one Christmas. I think it was like when I was 8 years old, I had a Brett Favre jersey, that and a John Elway jersey. But anyway, so we go there, and, you know, I remember we pulled up to Lambeau Field. The venue is absolutely jaw-dropping. I mean, it's probably second to, of course, the Dallas Cowboys Stadium down in Texas, because we got a chance to go out there, Isaac, last year for the we're not going there this year, I tell you that. last year for the college football playoff when Michigan State made it, right? And jaw-dropping, right? Jaw-dropping.
Mm-hmm. Totally.
This was as well, though. Lambeau Field comes in second to the Cowboys Stadium, but still, Lambeau Field is so historic. You walk up, and I didn't get a chance to see these two statues prior to kickoff, because we came in a different entrance. Like we got there like minutes before kickoff. Like we got to see kickoff, and we got there right in time. So after the game, after the Cowboys did what they do, all right, respect the star, baby. The Cowboys look absolutely great right now, leading the AFC East. Oh, I'm excited. Dak Prescott is the man. Jerry Jones, please don't put in Tony Romo. Don't do it, all right? I understand you paid the man a lot of moolah, but you're winning right now, and that's most important. Anyway, we walk around Lambeau Field, and there's two statues that probably are the best statues I've ever seen in sports, other than Michael Jordan's at United Center in Chicago, mm-hmm. okay? Mm-hmm. Heck, man. Now, it's close, though. I must say this, though. These are the biggest statues I've ever seen in my life, Isaac. The Joe Lombardi statue at Lambeau Field, it's huge, and it looks just like Joe Lombardi. It's so detailed. I mean, this thing is huge, Isaac. Like, huge. I don't even know how many feet in the air it was, but it just unbelievable. And then right next to the Joe Lombardi statue, you have the founder, whose name eludes me right now, but the founder of the Green Bay Packers. His statue there, too. He also was a former coach of the Packers as well. But you have both of their statues right next to each other.
Vince Lombardi, though, right? Vince or
yeah.
Joe?
Okay. Excuse me. Vince Lombardi, not Joe checking. Lombardi. Yeah. Yeah, thank you for that correction. Vince Lombardi, excuse me. Vince Lombardi statue there. And right next to him, you have the founder of the Green Bay Packers organization right there. His statue's there. And people are just losing their minds, taking pictures next to these two statues. So, of course, I had to get one. So it was all over my Snapchat. And we walk around, and they have a Hall of Fame there as well. Mm-hmm. Didn't get a chance to go in there because it was closed by the time the game ended. But that was just – you could kind of peek in and see. That looked unbelievable. We go into the Green Bay Packers Pro Shop, and everything from, like, toothpicks to napkins – to helmets, to cookie jars, to just everything. Any utensil, small, big, whatever size it was, they had it in there with that Green Bay Packers logo on it. I mean, it was stunning as well. It was so big, unbelievable there as well. And we walk out, and you know, another statue that was really cool to see was they actually made a statue to commemorate the Lambeau Leap. Now, there wasn't much Lambeau leaping, if at all, on Sunday afternoon, all right? So yeah, I didn't get a chance to see any Lambeau leaps during the game. But they have a statue that has it's like random fans, like, cheering, right? I don't know if you guys have seen the statue on the broadcast. And they have, like, the stanchion that, you know, the players jump up to greet the crowds with. And it's so detailed, and people were just, you know, jumping on it and taking pictures on that as well. So cool. I had a great, great time. And I encourage any sports fan out there, you know, if you're not a fan of the Green Bay Packers, you have to check out Lambeau Field before your time is done on this earth, okay? It was a great time, Isaac. I had a great time.
Oh, and I gave your guys a shout-out, too, on yesterday's show. And Dak Prescott was also one of my weekend winners just because the Cowboys look unstoppable currently. And the thing that amazes me is they're doing it. And actually, you can make this comparison of Lambeau Field to, like, a Wrigley Field, that sort of similar history shared by those two great classic stadiums. Both are monuments of the sports world.
Yeah.
But the thing is, they remind me of the Cubs of the NFL in that not only is this team one of the best, if not the best, right now in the league, they are so young. Dak Prescott,
yep.
Rookie, setting records. Ezekiel Elliott, rookie. Send records. And then the offensive line, still young, still growing. The wide receiving core without Dez Bryant.
Yep.
And you guys did that to the Packers.
Yep.
No, congratulations to you.
Across the and another aspect that I think is even maybe more impressive than what the offense is doing, the defense has been great. The Dallas Cowboy defense has been, like, it's blown me away. Because if anything, you know, especially when Dak really started to come on at the beginning of this year, I said to myself, I see a lot of potential here with him. Zeke is going to be Zeke. We could see him in Ohio State and knew that he was going to have a great rookie campaign. But that Dallas Cowboy defense has stepped up a lot, folks. So it's been impressive. Then you got Jason Witten. He's a Hall of Famer. I could go on and on about the offense. But I'm happy right now. But I know many of our listeners aren't happy right now because the Michigan State football team, oh, boy, this is just tough to watch. It's really tough to watch. Get this. I mean, and I had to just really sit back after seeing the Michigan State football team fall to Northwestern this past weekend. You know, I sat back and said, this is a team that was in the college football playoff last year, folks. They were down in Dallas not too long ago, folks. And now everything has gone awry. A four-game losing streak. Michigan State right now sits at 2-4 on the year. They have a 2-4 record. The first time Michigan State has had a 2-4 record dating all the way back to when I was still in well, I hope I wasn't in my diapers at 4 years old. You're not supposed to be in your diapers at 4 years old. I was
No, you need to check that out.
Yeah, I need to.
That's what we call incontinent.
A late bloomer.
That's what they call it.
That's what I. I was a late bloomer, I guess. Back in 1994, probably when I was still in my diapers. That's a long time. 1994 is the last time Michigan State has had a 2-4 record. So, and that was, of course, if you remember, if that year rings a bell, that was the final year of George Perlis. Now, this ain't going to be the final year of Mark D'Antonio, all right? Let's just be real here. Mark D'Antonio is one of the best coaches in this entire nation, okay? It's just one of those years for this team. Now, watching that game on Saturday, you know, I saw Brian Lewerke, 73 yards in the first quarter, led Michigan State to a scoring drive with a 24-yard scramble and had even his first TD pass to Josiah Price, all right? And then directly after that, what happens? Michigan State gets an interception. Justin Lane picks off Clayton Thorson for a pick six. MSU goes up 14-0. And I'm sitting there saying to myself, yes, this is exactly the kind of game that this team needs right now. And then all of a sudden, Northwestern wakes up, scores on a 29-yard TD by Justin Jackson, who was great that entire game. And MSU, though, they answer back with the score. It's actually a 41-yard field goal from kicker Michael Geiger. And then what happens, folks? As I watched that game, and I even had it DVR'd on my television, folks. Now I'm fast-forwarding play-by-play-by-play. The MSU offense went silent. They went silent up until the third quarter. And that Michigan State defense, which has a lot of injuries right now, and that's the thing. I mean, how much can you expect from a Spartan defense? And we did see Riley Bullitt return, but folks, I mean, Riley Bullitt, this is his first game back since Notre Dame. I mean, how much can you expect from Riley Bullitt coming back? I mean, he's not going to come out, you know, lights out here, okay? So even with Riley returning, you know, it's still going to take him some reps to get back in game action like he was. But, you know, the offense goes silent, and what happens? Northwestern scores 26 straight points, and the Wildcats take a 33-17 lead in the third quarter. And how about the Northwestern offense? I mean, you know, Clayton Thorson and Justin Jackson, my goodness. And this is the thing that's been a problem all year for the Michigan State defense, all right? First off, that defensive line is not stopping anybody right now. You know, tackles are bouncing off those guys. They're not getting any tackles. I mean, right now, and look, you brought this to my attention as well. Who is it? Monte Medeiros? Right now, who leads the team in tackling right now?
I brought up this stat yesterday. Three of MSU's top five tacklers, two of the top three,
right,
are defensive backs.
No,
that's inherently a problem.
That shows you that first line is not getting it done.
And the second line.
There hasn't been any pass rush. There hasn't been any pressure on the quarterbacks. There hasn't been any pressure in the backfield as far as the running backs are concerned. I mean, Northwestern was able to really chillax throughout much of that game and really pick apart that porous Michigan State defense. Third downs have been a problem all season. Riddle me this. Another game in which Northwestern, just torches Michigan State on third downs. Northwestern goes 10 of 19 on third downs. They had 8 yards per pass, almost 5 yards per rush. Just too many injuries for this MSU defense. And you really can't expect a lot from them right now. Okay? If you think that this MSU defense should be playing – well, again, I will say from this perspective, when it comes to tackling, I mean, those are the fundamentals. And that's something that Mark D'Antonio talked about today. We're going to get to a few Mark D'Antonio bites in just a second here. But though tackling is fundamentally sound, or supposed to be, right? Michigan State isn't wrapping up. They aren't wrapping it up. And Tyler O'Connor, 13 of 21, 281 yards, 3 touchdowns, 1 pick. Brian Lewerke, 12 of 19, 99 yards, 1 touchdown, no picks. I like the offense, and again, Lewerke, great first drive. Don't get me wrong here. But Tyler O'Connor, I thought, had a better game. I thought Tyler O'Connor had a better game, all right? Now, I think we're milking this conversation so dry right now because Tyler O'Connor should be the starting quarterback of this team. You're not going to get any better with Lewerke or Terry, for that matter.
It's easy.
And I was wondering why Terry didn't see any playing time one Saturday, and Mark D'Antonio came out today and stated that Damian Terry did have a, quote, hand issue. So we don't know what's wrong with Damian Terry's hand. Who knows? But with the bigger question here, before we hit our first break, I want to pose this question to our listeners. Because Michigan State has had so much success in recent years, okay? The 11-win seasons, you know, the 3 Big Ten championships. They go to the college football playoff last year. How about, you know, the Rose Bowl? I mean, so much success in recent years. In what way do you think a fall-off like this, 4 straight losses, how can you ignore a fallout like this? In what way does this hurt the Michigan State football brand, and possibly even more importantly, and I think this question has direct relation to that question, in what way will this hurt Michigan State's recruiting? What do you think? Again, I go on and on. 3 Big Ten championships, 5 11-win seasons in the last 6 years, 67 wins since 2010, 9 straight bowl appearances. That's looking a bit rocky right now. I don't know if they'll be able to hit the big number 1-0 right now. It's not looking good, folks. What does fall off like this mean for this team moving forward? I want to know what you think. 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. Let's hit our first break. When we come back, you get to hear from head coach Mark D'Antonio and what he had to say at this morning's press conference. All right, you don't want to miss that and so much more. You are listening to WKAR's Current Sports.
This month, public radio stations across the country are asking for your help with on-air fundraising campaigns. We're committed to keeping ours as short as possible on WKAR. Will you make your gift at WKAR.org now to help our campaign start strong? If you rely on the news and music services on WKAR, if they enrich your life, please help sustain them. Let's come together to keep public radio a strong voice in our community. Make your investment now at WKAR.org, and thanks.
Welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. Ladies and gents, boys and girls, I'm your host, Al Martin, and you just heard from our radio station manager, of course, the one, the only, Peter Wharf. Again, it is Pledge Week here on WKAR. It's our fall fundraiser that will run through the 20th, and you can give now by simply going to WKAR.org or by picking up that phone and dialing 517-353-5000, all right? Now, again, when you give now, up until 7 p.m. today, you'll automatically be entered for a chance to win a $500 Visa gift card courtesy of our friends at LaughQ. Simple as that, all right? Give a gift of support to WKAR Radio and be entered in the running to win that $500 Visa gift card. Easy. And get this, if you donate again, you become a member of the family here at WKAR. I know there's many out there that listen to us on a daily basis, whether it be Current State in the Morning, whether it be classical music with Jody Knoll and Jamie Paisley, whether it be Brooke Allen or Morning Edition, or whether it be right here at WKAR's Current Sports. If you love what you hear and you're a fan of what we do, be a part of it officially. Any amount is totally fine with us, okay? Whatever you can give, donate, because without you, we can't make this thing possible, all right? All right, before we hit our first break, we were talking about MSU football, and I posed the question, what does a year like this mean as far as the MSU football brand is concerned? Because I got to be honest with you guys, it does, in my opinion, it does put a dent in it, okay? We invite right now current sports production assistant Luke Robbins, who attended the Mark D'Antonio presser with me this morning, as well as engineer of WKAR's Current Sports, Isaac Constance. We welcome Isaac to the show as well. Because, you know, this is why I say this. If Michigan State football wants to
legitimately compete and have a national brand to that of an Alabama football, which is, again, that's a long way to go, right? Because Alabama, I mean, heck, that's a team that every single year I feel like is favored to go all the way and at least make the college football playoff and compete for a national championship. But if MSU wants to be in that constant conversation, that consistent conversation, you can't have years like this. You know, I must say that. I mean, when does an Alabama lose four straight? That doesn't happen, you know? And Mark D'Antonio has done a stellar job. So commendable. So commendable. But it's always about, you know, as his motto was last year, reaching higher, and which they did. They reached higher and they got to a college football playoff. And it's about sustaining that. Now, again, there are many factors that in sports you just cannot plan for sometimes. Who knew that the MSU defense was going to have these kind of injuries? Who knew that as far as the leadership turnover, who knew that it was going to be this detrimental to this team? And who knew that we would have this whole quarterback quandary right here in the middle of the year? We didn't know how good Tyler O'Connor truly was because we simply didn't see a lot of him, with the exception of what that Ohio State game last year when he came in and won the game during rain-drenched conditions. We didn't really know how good Tyler O'Connor is or how good Damian Terry is or how good Brian Lewerke is because we simply didn't see those quarterbacks. We just knew that this team last year, with the most decorated quarterback in Spartan football history, with Connor Cook, with leaders like Shalik Calhoun and you know, Darian Harris, with those guys being now gone, we knew that was going to be a lot of turnover and a challenge for Michigan State to try and equal or let alone come close to what they did last season. But we didn't know how far that gap was. The gap can't be this far when you have turnover if you want to be in that number or that conversation with college football's elite. You just can't have a drop-off like this. I think Michigan State will rebound next year. I truly think they do. This is healthy for the young players on this team because they know this feeling. Losing four straight, they know this feeling. They know that they do not ever want to feel this feeling again. I think with the recruiting that Mark D'Antonio has done in recent years, some of the best recruiting classes he's ever had, I think that talent is eventually going to pan out. But these years cannot become a norm when your senior talent leaves your program. I'll start with Luke this time. We'll go to Isaac. Luke?
Well, completely agreed. This is bad for the brand. You know, it hurts. But I want to kind of bring up this point. Sometimes bad things happen to good programs. If you look at 2012, it's a little different analogy. Mm-hmm. 2012, well, I'm going to go to the basketball. Anthony Davis, Kentucky, win the national championship. What happens next year? They lose in the first round in the NIT. Mm-hmm. You know, bad things happen to good programs. And obviously, we've seen Kentucky bounce back. And is Michigan State as decorated as Kentucky in basketball? You know, the football? Not really, but
in some comparison, when comparing, you know, sports cross referencing like that, but I get what you're saying.
Yeah, you know, like Kentucky can be considered almost like an Alabama of basketball. So sometimes bad things happen to good programs, and it's just going to be a bounce back year. You know, they're just having a tough time. Things just can't seem to go right. Just so many injuries, and you know, they're just going to really have to look forward. Really, in my opinion,
Isaac.
Well, I think both sides of that are right. And one thing I commented on yesterday's show was how Northwestern, BYU, and Wisconsin all had the same jubilant response to beating MSU. MSU now is considered a program victory, a staple for which you can point to your season and say, this was a successful season. Look at this program we beat. I heard Urban Meyer actually say after Ohio State's impressive win and really unrelenting win versus Wisconsin, Wisconsin's a good team. They beat MSU. They beat LSU. MSU is now of that stature as championship-winning programs are. But at the same time, MSU isn't there yet internally because MSU has not won the championship. Al, you and I were talking before this year. What separates MSU from Ohio State? What separates Alabama from the rest of the pack? It's all a simple finger which is the ring finger. That's all that it is. That's all that it is. And that's the only thing that keeps MSU subservient to these programs. And to have championship winning years, yeah, you can have a top 20 recruiting class going into this year, coming out of it, all of that. But to have championship winning years, you mentioned it, I'm not sure what this does for the state of MSU football. Now, I also said anybody overreacting and saying Dave Warner needs to be fired. No, calm down. These are the same coaches who got you this position out of nothing. But at the same time, this year is a problem, and questions deserve to be asked.
Without a doubt. I mean, anytime you lose four straight, yeah, they definitely – they're fair. Any question you ask to a head coach, anytime you lose four straight after coming off a year like Michigan State had last year, any question is fair. So, with that being said, let's get to our coverage from the presser this morning. Here's actually Mark D'Antonio's opening statement.
That'll be our next challenge. You know, I was walking through, obviously, the football facility yesterday. Spent a lot of time there lately. Walked by down the hallway where all of our bowl jerseys are hanging that have been won, you know, we've been involved with in the last 9 years. All the NFL players that have gone on. And it just sort of hit me a little bit, you know, where we are right now relative to where we've been. And I think the most important thing to recognize is that wherever we're going is to try and get back to that point and continue to compete, continue to build into the players in terms of what we're trying to do, concentrate on fundamentals, get our younger players ready to go, along with our older players, same thing. Competition, I believe, is something that every competitor or every sport or really a business or school or anything, they have to deal with things, sudden change at times. They have to deal with things that aren't going quite so well. And when those things happen, you sort of return to what allowed you to get to these places in the first place, which has always been tougher effort and knowledge of what we have to do. So we'll build on that. We'll maintain our focus.
So Michigan State will play in its third night road game of the year as the Spartans will face Maryland on Saturday in College Park. The game begins at 7:30 p.m. Saturday's game marks the eighth meeting between Michigan State and Maryland. The Spartans lead the overall series 6-1, including a 2-0 record in College Park. Again, the Spartans trying to snap a four-game losing streak. And you heard from Coach D, again, he's a man who's holding up as best as he can. So, you know, going back to my earlier point about the whole, again, we've talked about this numerous times, but the quarterback situation. We saw Brian Lewerke. I listed out his numbers. Great start. Then the offense didn't have really any balance. They decided to go a different route and bring in Tyler O'Connor. Tyler O'Connor, I thought, had a pretty solid game. 13 of 21, 281, three touchdowns, an INT. We did not see Damian Terry, though. Terry is the quarterback who relieved Tyler O'Connor of his duties against BYU. And here is Coach D on Damian Terry.
No, Damian's not out of the mix in terms of playing. You know, he had a little hand issue last week. So we held him and we went with the other two. So we'll see how the practices work out this week. We'll make some determinations as we go and sort of go from there. As far as, you know, my speaking to our quarterbacks, that's, you know, that's an in-house thing, but I spoke to all of our quarterbacks and make sure that everybody was in good shape mentally.
Is it the same situation up with game time decision right now?
Probably be more game time decision, yeah.
So as you heard, a game time decision on who will be the starting quarterback this upcoming weekend, you know, Saturday night against Maryland. But I think we may see Tyler O'Connor fit back into that role, Isaac. I don't know.
If he doesn't, it's a mistake. Honestly, Tyler O'Connor proved last game that he is the man for this job. And for the first time, this team playing so far behind, you saw the chains fall off of O'Connor. You saw your best hope. Just go out and try to make a difference. And he did make a difference. That deep bomb to R.J. Shelton was the biggest play for MSU this year. So Tyler O'Connor obviously proved his merits with this team. You and I have been saying for some time, he's earned the job. I think he proved that last game. And for the last time, I'll just say, it's the defense. Honestly,
yeah,
Tyler O'Connor's proved he's capable. Not the best. He's not Connor Cook, but he's capable. Damian Terry's decent. Brian Lewerke, he will be a great quarterback. He's a redshirt freshman right now.
Right.
But the defense gave up 54 points to Northwestern. That's unacceptable.
Luke, on the walk to Spartan Stadium, you and I were talking, and you made a comment that I definitely agree with. If somebody would have came to you and said that Michigan State would score 40 points against Northwestern this past weekend at homecoming, you would have, you know, bet your bottom dollar that Michigan State was going to win that game, right? But that defense gives up 54 points. Who do you think should start on Saturday?
I think it should be Tyler O'Connor. You know, the offense kind of looked flat after that first drive from Lewerke, but O'Connor came in and he just looked like he was the man to lead the program. He was like, all right, you guys, the media's been calling for me to sit. I sat. Now look at me.
Well, that's a good point. Tyler has dealt with this very well. He's dealt with this like a professional. Okay,
he didn't
whine and cry or pop off at the media for being bitched. I was very curious to see how he was going to respond to us media members sticking a microphone in front of his face after being benched against BYU. And he sat there. Now, granted, yeah, he looked disappointed, as he should, because it shows that he cares and he realizes he should have played better.
Yeah.
He was disappointed. You could see it on his face. But at the same time, he answered every single question. Honestly, I thought he answered every single question with the right type of emotion you want to have in a moment like that, because it does show you care. He didn't just blow it off and say, yeah, whatever. You know, I guess we got a quarterback conversation. He was very candid in that moment. And I think that Tyler has dealt with this very well, Luke.
Yeah, and, you know, like I said, he went out there and he tried to shut up the media, you know?
Right. And I think he did for the most part. We talk about change, you know? Do you make a change here, you know, when it comes to either the play calling or other personnel other than the quarterback position? And here is Coach D on change.
You know, there are always wrinkles. As I said last week, you can't come out this week, and well, I guess maybe we could. We could say, hey, we're running a triple option. Maybe Maryland will get ready for that, okay? But you can't just change and overhaul something that you've done, especially if you've been good at it. And so what we have done is we have put players in positions to make plays. What we have done is we've taken relative schemes that we use offensively and defensively. We've had tremendous success doing these things. So I don't think that you go away from what you've been successful at and all of a sudden say, hey, we're going to change that, and that's no longer important. We're going to do these things. We have to make sure that the things that we do have a foundation behind them so that our players can play fast, that they know what to do, and they can play fast. Because the problem right now is sometimes our players aren't playing fast. I watched Josh King, who's going to be a phenomenal player. He comes off the edge in the game on Saturday, and you know, he's just young. Comes off the edge, and before he gets hit on a wham block and a block coming back from the tight end, you know, he fixes his helmet in the middle of the play. Well, you know, you can't do that. And that's just a very small thing, but you have to be able to know what you're doing, play fast, and execute whatever it is. Whether it's playing the deep ball or running a route or throwing a route or pass protecting, whatever it is. You've got to be able to do those things at a rapid rate, and you've got to do it aggressively. And that's what we need to concentrate on, and fundamentally sound. That's what wins football games, fundamentals.
The fundamentals. And again, that's what you get sometimes when you have a lot of youth on a football team. I mean, in the middle of the play, Josh King decides to fix his helmet. In the middle of the play? Come on. I Coach D has to just be losing his mind right now with some of the stuff that goes on. Here's also Coach D on just the magnitude of the moment right now. Again, keeping your head above water. This team is still, as he puts it, all in.
No, not for me. I've been there before. Hopefully won't be there again, but who knows. I think everybody goes through these things at some point. You know, whether it's an injury that sets you back, or whether it's you lose a game that sets you back, or whether you don't quite play as well and somebody else takes over your position for a short time or whatever it is. There are always setbacks in life, like I said, and I think the thing that we have to do is we have to handle that and compete. As far as our football team, you know, I really can't remember. I can't remember 2009 or how we started. I know that 9 and 12 were difficult seasons but at some point in time we turned it a little bit and scrapped. And at this point in time, we're going to just become a team that's going to scrap. That's my intent. And let's get on with that first. So We'll be all in. We will be all in. That's all I can tell you.
And last but not least, I tell you what, D'Antonio, he's still finding a way to have a bit of a sense of humor. Now, as you heard in our intro, just in case you didn't, we're going to play this twice because I thought it was Luke, it was my favorite moment of the press conference, because going to Spartan Stadium this morning, I thought that we would see maybe a very grumpy, angry Mark D'Antonio, mm-hmm. who's very emotional and making these hard-pressed statements about how they need to get better. But he wasn't. He's been very even keel. And there was a moment where Detroit News sports writer Matt Charbonneau, you know, as the microphones get passed from person to person in the press conference, sometimes some guys have butterfingers, all right? And mm-hmm. Matt Charbonneau had butterfingers. He dropped the mic, and D'Antonio had a very hilarious response. Here it is.
As I've said before, we've won a ton of games. It's all right. We all make mistakes right down there. Yeah, no problem. Where was I? I'm just trying to come up with some things here. Okay, I think you got to be a rock. You have to be. You know, bad things are going to happen. You know, that's going to be a part of your life. Everybody goes through struggles.
How funny was that, though? You know, hey, Matt drops the mic, literally. And then what does Mark do? He looks at him and says, hey, it's all right. We all make mistakes. You were next to me. Look, I just started dying laughing as soon as I heard that comment. All right. Well, let's hit our first break. Before we do, I know we've got Mike from Saginaw online, too. We haven't heard from Mike from Saginaw in quite some time. Mike, how you doing?
How you doing, my man? You know, Tupac is being nominated for the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, and Janet Jackson too.
That is, you know, and can I ask this question? I'm glad you bring this up, Mike. And we love how you start with pop culture every time you call too,
because
it
really
keeps us up to date. Mike, why? Mm-hmm. Why do they call it the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame? Because there's so many artists that come through the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame that literally have nothing to do with rock and roll or weren't rockers. You know what I mean? So I've always wondered that. But I think that's an incredible honor. I mean, Tupac is one of the most, you know, I think mm-hmm. he's one of the most significant artists, at least of my generation. He was, mm-hmm. and a lot of people consider him to be the best hip-hop artist of all time. Pac is a legend. He deserves that honor. And Janet Jackson, don't get me started on Janet Jackson. I'm a huge fan of hers. And actually, we saw Susie Merchant give her tribute to Janet at Midnight Madness, where they don't call it Midnight Madness, at MSU Madness on Friday night as she danced to Rhythm Nation.
For a Nobel Peace Prize.
Who's nominated for a Nobel Peace Prize?
Bob Dylan, right?
Oh, yeah. Bob, okay, I thought you were talking about Janet Jackson at first. I was still on my spit. I saw Bob Dylan. I saw that honor on Facebook via our very own Scott Paul. And Bob Dylan, just a magnificent artist. Yep.
So you think before I ask you about a football question, you think they're running out of people to put in there now? Because if they do it, you know, because usually – when you say Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, why they have it? Usually for the older generation, you know, the people who was the beginners, the beginning of that it's culture or movement or whatever you want to call it.
They may be, Mike. I mean, if they're bringing in Tupac, they may have ran out of some names. I don't know. That's a good question. I have no idea.
Yeah. I gotta laugh at that too, because speaking of that, Chuck Berry is 90 today, so
okay.
I don't know if you're familiar with him or not.
No, not really.
let me ask you about football, man.
All right, what's on your mind?
What I want to know about Michigan State is, do you think that what happened is that the competition is finally catching up with them now?
What do you mean by that?
So
you think they're due for a bad season?
Right, the talent level is not there anymore. And also, you know, they got a lot of younger players. You know, they haven't been through had the experience of the pressure situations, you know, because I look at them playing against Northwestern. You know what Northwestern did is just play man on man. They just pushed them off the line and ran the ball.
Right, right. Well, I'll tell you what, I think it's for me, and Isaac may disagree with this. I know Isaac is. You've been harping on more so the talent. You just think this team doesn't have the talent.
I've said this.
This has been more so a question for me this year, of youth, and health. I think those are the two biggest reasons why we are seeing this season the way it is right now. I think this team is talented. I really do. I think they have a lot of talent in so many different areas, especially when it comes to the offense. I think the offense, when you compare both of them, I think they're very, very talented. And, heck, when you look at the defensive line, I mean, Malik McDowell had a pretty good game
Saturday.
I looked at his numbers. Malik McDowell, out of anybody who was on that defensive line, I thought Malik McDowell played pretty well, even though he's been double-teamed throughout much, if not all, of this season. But as far as talent goes, I think that the talent is there for this team, but a lot of the cream of the crop talent has been injured. And when you look at the inconsistencies of the quarterback position, you know, how many times did we see Tyler O'Connor is just not as accurate as we would like him to be? Overthrow guys, and heck, Donnie Corley.
Miss guys, yeah.
Such a talented wide receiver. Yep. We have yet to see really what he can do because he's seeing a different guy behind center every single week.
Well, and that's what I would argue, is that it's not that you're without talent. I do think it's a talent problem. What I think happens, though, is you replace senior talent with freshman talent. Mm-hmm. And it's as simple as that. It's that Joel Heath is off the defensive line. Now you got Raekwon Williams. It's time and time again you see that situation. And the receiving core, you've got so many freshmen having to step up and try to assume the role that formerly guys like Tony Lippett, Aaron Burbridge played for this team. Those are tough players to replace. And that's all I think it is. And then with you, I'd throw in the injuries. Bad luck. But at the same time, it's not to say that this team won't be great again in the near future.
Very true.
Tell me this. How did Northwestern, after Michigan State scored on the long pass, why did Northwestern run all the way back for a touchdown, man? Did anybody block it? Anybody was aware the guy ran it back? What was going on with that?
I'm sure it. That blew my mind, Isaac, when I saw that. I mean, this comes down to one thing: the muscle between the ears. Michigan State, at times, mentally focus wise, they just don't have it. I don't know. And again, that comes down to youth, maybe as well. I couldn't explain that. If I knew the answer to that, Mike, I wouldn't be behind this mic. All right.
All right, then.
All right. Thanks so much, Mike.
Thank you, Al. You got it, man.
Before we hit our first break, again, I wanted to get on my spiel about the Lions. I want to really commend them because, the last 2 weeks have been very eerily similar games in terms of the way they've ended. And we've seen historically the Lions totally blow those type of games. But Matthew Stafford has been terrific. He really has been so good right now. And it's really hard for me to get on the mic here and say that this team is going to make the playoffs or really start to roll right now. But I will say they're playing some pretty good football right now. The defense has to get better, though, Isaac. And I'll elaborate on all of these points more during tomorrow's show. But I want to bring up this as well. Louisville, what is taking place with the basketball program at Louisville. And we'll be diving more into what should happen if this program is guilty. And it looks like this program is certainly guilty of something in this situation with the whole escort situation concerning Katina Powell and her involvement with the former now graduate assistant coach and director of basketball operations and Andre McGee. Something was going on there. And in my opinion, if you are the head coach of that program, if you are Pitino, if you're Coach Pitino, you have to know something. So I really think that the NCAA, come Thursday, is going to lay down the hammer on this program. I'll elaborate more on why, but that is going to be a huge part of tomorrow's show, all right? But unfortunately, we are out of time. We'll be back at it, same time, same place tomorrow. Again, our fall pledge fundraiser continues throughout the week here. If you want to donate, go to WKAR.org or pick up the phone and dial 517-353-5000. We appreciate any donation you can spare us. We'll be back at it tomorrow, folks. Thanks so much to all of you out there for tuning in to this edition of Current Sports with me, Al Martin, right here on WKAR AM 870 East Lansing. Be easy, people.